This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Texas Republican Congressman Blake Farenthold. He represents the Lone Star State's 27th Congressional District and is one of the dozens of new House Republican freshmen who won in part due to a strong campaign based on the nation's fiscal health, or poor fiscal health, to be more specific. We want to get his thoughts now as the debt ceiling debate plays out. The House already rejected the president's version of what he wants to see in a debt ceiling hike. And we want to get the congressman's thoughts not only how he's looking at it, but many of his fellow freshmen as well. And, sir, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, it's my pleasure being with you. As the nation's health and health care, it was all about health. I'd never thought of it until just now.
Well, in terms of the debt ceiling vote, the House voted on pretty much what the president wanted initially, and that's what he called a clean hike in the debt ceiling.
You know, they barely got half the Democrats on that.
What does that tell you?
That even the Democrats realize we've got a problem. And the real issue is, all right, we've agreed what the problem is. Now, how do we solve it?
So what is the consensus within your conference? There seems to be a consensus that major things need to be in place. Is there a consensus on what those things have to be?
I don't think there are at all. The Democrats and the White House, neither one of them have come out with any sort of plan of their own. So at this point, you know, we've passed the Ryan budget, which is our path to dealing with the whole financial crisis we have in this country, and there's nothing whatsoever from the Democrats. So we haven't staked out a position beyond the Ryan budget because we're just negotiating with ourselves. You know, we might as well start with let's balance the budget this year. Probably not realistic, and took us years to get into this mess. But somebody's got to put something on the table here.
Talking to one of your colleagues earlier today, Congressman Griffin of Arkansas, he says that at the meeting he attended yesterday with President Obama and other House Republicans, that the president made it clear that he didn't see much value in putting out a specific plan for public consumption. So he's apparently content to let the debate continue just over the Ryan plan and hold perhaps some other negotiations behind closed doors. So if that is the Democratic strategy, where is the line in the sand come August 2nd when supposedly, according to the Treasury Secretary, there has to be some sort of addressing of the debt ceiling?
I don't know, but I'm frustrated. You know, as a newcomer up here in Washington, I am just banging my head against the wall with the fact that we have to wait until the last minute to get everything done. If I ran my life that way with not making any decisions and not doing anything until the very last possible second, I'd be crazy. You just can't live your life that way. You can't run a business like that, and you can't run a government like that. We've got to get these problems solved. You end up not making good decisions at the last minute. But I think this actually is the president's strategy. Let's get into a crisis, and then they'll do anything we want. And stall, I guess, is a tactic, but it's certainly, I don't think, in the best interest of the country. It's not fair to businesses and the investment community who are relying on us getting this done so they can hire new people, decide where to invest their money. You know, we were just, it's crazy.
Let me ask this in a couple different ways. First of all, are you prepared? Do you think most of your freshman colleagues are prepared to vote no on any extension of the debt ceiling unless you see some major concessions that are at least in the neighborhood of some of the things outlined in the Ryan plan?
From an intellectually honest standpoint, what I'd like to see is we mirror the Ryan plan as the bottom line to what we're going to do. We do the cuts and the long-term goals set out in the Ryan plan, which includes a short-term increase in the debt ceiling. I mean, we voted for and passed the Ryan plan, so let's continue like we're doing on appropriations and like we're doing on everything else, match what we do legislatively to the goals and guidelines we set out in the Ryan plan. But I also think it is an opportunity to get some other things that we want. This is really our only leverage point. But yeah, we kind of made the mistake on the continuing resolution, which, you know, funded the government for the rest of this year, of starting at our ending point. And so I don't think we need to make that same negotiating mistake again. At the very least, we need to get something that mirrors the Ryan plan, and I think we ought to be able to get more than that.
Debt ceiling extension or no debt ceiling extension, what will be the impact, and let's just focus on your district, what will be the impact on your constituents and the businesses in your district if, in fact, there's not a major change and a tightening of the financial belt by Congress and the entire federal government?
Well, this unsustainable spending is what is costing us jobs. There's over $1 trillion of money sitting on the sidelines waiting to be invested because nobody really knows what's going to happen with the economy of this country. We have tried spending our way out of this problem with stimuluses and bailouts, and that hasn't worked. So I think we need to get back to good old-fashioned conservative values where we don't spend what we don't have, we don't borrow money to give it away, and then we've also got to grow the income side. Now, to the Democrats, growing the income side means raising taxes, but really the right way to grow the income side is to get government regulations out, create a level of certainty, and get the businesses to reinvest, put people back to work. And everybody you put back to work, it creates a snowball effect. The person you put back to work comes off of welfare, so you save money on that. They become a taxpayer, so you make money on that. They have money to spend, so they can go out and buy things, eat at restaurants, and become a consumer, so the businesses that supply those goods and services can grow and hire somebody and start the process all over. It snowballs real fast. Every person we put back to work is a huge step in the right direction.
And just a quick tangent on that front, Texas seems, as a state as a whole, to be doing much better than the national average in job creation. Are those the keys there, money in the pocket of folks and reducing regulations?
Business-friendly environment. We have no state income tax in Texas. We have our financial house in order. The Texas Constitution requires a balanced budget, and we have a yes-we-can attitude. You want to move your business to Texas? We're going to do whatever we can to make that work for you. In the federal government, you want to do something with your businesses. It's how many roadblocks can we throw up with environmental regulations, permitting, and whatever else you want to come up with. It's a completely different mindset in the state of Texas, and that's why businesses are locating in Texas.
Last question before we let you go, Congressman. I want to get your thoughts on another debate that's playing out specifically with respect to the debt ceiling debate. On the one hand, you have the White House and many Democrats saying, and even some moderate Republicans saying, look, at some point this has to be extended. Hopefully you can get the best deal possible. But if it doesn't happen, the United States starts defaulting and then we get into even far worse trouble. Others say, no, we've got enough revenues coming in from recent tax receipts that we can pretty much honor our debt obligations and there doesn't need to be any urgent extension of the debt ceiling. What's your understanding on that?
Well, I think we need to, and there's some bills floating around that prioritize what we pay. Right now, there's no rhyme or reason to how we pay our bills. A bill comes in, it gets paid. Well, that doesn't work for families when we're tight on money. All right, we pay the rent, electric bill, and buy groceries first, and you know maybe we wait to pay the cable bill. Well, I think we need to do the same level of prioritization in the federal government. We pay our debt first. We pay our armed services second. We honor our obligations to veterans and seniors third, and you know we can just keep working down the line there.
Congressman, it's going to be fascinating to watch. Thank you so much for your insight.
It was a pleasure talking to you. I'll be happy to visit anytime.
I'll look forward to our next chat, sir. Texas Republican Congressman Blake Farenthal represents the Lone Star State's 27th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.